Lord.
I'm glad to be in your presence tonight, and hopefully what the Lord has given me will impact you and help you, okay? And growing up in the church, I've seen many things, experienced many things, and I myself, this one particular prayer that I've prayed, and maybe you have prayed or know somebody else who's prayed this prayer, is use me, okay? Have any of you prayed that prayer? Okay. Well, sometimes we pray things that are incorrect. Actually, I'm thinking we should actually pray the prayer, Lord, make me useful. You know, fix me. Because before the Lord could really use us, he has to make us useful. Okay? And sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes, you know, people want to be used of God for so many different reasons other than the true motivation, but it should be, which is love, the love of God, okay? And the truth is, the Lord had to give me the ice pick to the forehead, so to speak. That way I got the point. I'm going to be very transparent. I am not as wonderful as I think I am. I'm just not, okay? I prayed a very dangerous prayer to the Lord, and he answered my prayer, and that was, Lord, show me myself. That's a very dangerous prayer. He had mercy and just showed me a glimpse, and I went, that's okay. I don't need to see anymore for a while, okay? And so none of us, and I'm including you too, are not as wonderful as we think we are. We're not, except my wife, okay? Okay? And so, you know, you get all types of people who want to be seen, and a lot of people, how can I put this, they think too much of themselves. That's why God can't use them, you know. And in Romans 12:3, it says, for I say, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt with every man the measure of faith. Okay? So please don't get mad with me. I'm just going by the word, okay? You see, you know, that guy, some of us actually on the inside look like that guy going, yeah, I'm cool, you know. But we have said to you, have to realize who we are in Christ. Because when we think too much of ourselves, and the case happened with King Saul, you know, and if you look here in Psalms 138, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect to the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. If you think too much of yourself, if you're arrogant, and there is a difference between arrogance and ego, and I'm going to break that down. Ego says, I know it. Arrogance says, I know it, but I'm going to let you know it too. Okay? And sometimes people say they want to be used of the Lord, but what is their motivation? They want to do great things, but not to impress God. Not that we can impress God, but to impress others. And one thing I thought about that, in fact, that can actually hinder our blessing in a very major league way. Do any of you remember the story of Naaman? There was a Syrian general who had leprosy, and he was told about the prophet in Israel. And here in 2 Kings 5:10, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Many times we say we want to be used of God and we want to do great things. The truth is, God is not demanding great things. He wants you to be faithful over little things. Little things. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out unto me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. Many times when we pray about things, we expect lightning, we expect thunder. But God actually likes and delights in doing little things, very, very low key. In fact, I even experienced that one time. I was praying about some things, and I was like, Lord, you know, I was looking for this powerful, dramatic answer. And the Lord basically said, it's cool. I'm going, what? That's it? Sometimes the Lord will just talk to you and give the answer in very soft ways, very gentle ways. But let me continue with this man. because he was a great general, and he was expecting to do something big and impressive, that the prophet would do something big and impressive. But the Lord actually delights oftentimes in doing little, seemingly little things, or doing it in a way that seems little, while we just expect something humongous. But it's actually, in the irony is that it's actually very big. And he responded and said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went in a rage. Here again, he's a great general, and he's expecting somebody to make a loud noise over him, make some sounds, and get some lightning or something, you know. But his servants, it's a good thing that he had some servants there. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldst thou have not done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" As I said, God is not always wanting you to do something big. Just do what he said. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. So many times we complicate things unnecessarily. God is not complicated. All we have to do is trust and obey. And know something? He did in the end. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh again came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. God is just asking us to do some little things. Be faithful over little things. But so many times people have the concept they want to be seen. They want to be used of God to do something great and mighty. But many times God just says, be cool, just relax. Just be obedient to my little things first. Now, King David understood this concept. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000, and I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Quick question for any of you out there. What was the job of a doorkeeper? No, you can't answer. Pardon me? No? I can't hear you? No? Well, partially so. Malcolm. To what? No. The main part of the main job of a doorkeeper was to make sure that no one uncircumcised came in the house of God. That was his job. To make sure that nobody... Do you understand what I mean? He had to check to make sure that nobody came in who was uncircumcised. I wouldn't want that job necessarily. That was his job. Okay? That's what the real job of a doorkeeper was, to make sure that nobody came in the house of God who was uncircumcised. And I think you all get the point, okay? But David, he was first a shepherd boy and was then king. And he realized after experiencing both sides, it's better to be a doorkeeper, just even to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. People say they want to be used, but can you be used of God just to pick a piece of paper off the floor? Can you be faithful to even do that little thing? Because if you're not ready to do that, you really can't be used of God. As I said, you can't think too much of yourself. Okay? Matthew 25:21 gives a really good illustration of this. Do you remember the parable with the talents? Well, here is what happened to them after the Lord came back. He said unto them, "Well done, thou good and faithful. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." As I said, God is asking you and requiring you, just be faithful over a few little things. You say you want the Lord to use you? Can you be faithful over little things? See, when you're faithful over little things, that's when you're really starting to bear fruit. What's your motivation? Do you want to be seen of people? Many times, when people do things, they may even do good things, but what is their reasoning behind it? David understood this, and he understood it. Even though this was more of the psalm that he wrote after he sinned with Bathsheba. But the point is very clear. Creating me a clean heart. What is your heart telling you? What are you supposed to be doing? Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Many times you hear people being asked to do something simple, and they get upset because they want to be seen. It's not to please God that they want to do something. They want to get their own glory. And it continues, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So the thing is, when people say they want to be used, are they willing to be broken? Are they willing to allow God to heal them and make them useful so they can be used of God? As I said, many people do things, but not with the right motivation. Here's an example of this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan, if I'm pronounced it correctly, of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. God wants our heart to be perfect towards him. Okay? Because, and that's what's the heart of a 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's about love. Do you have the right heart? Do you have the right heart? Now, a lot of people often pimp the scriptures. That's what I mean by that. They use it for their own purposes. And they only quote the portion that makes them feel good. Okay? And it says, and we know all things work together for good. And they stop there. But that's not really true. It works together, and actually what it really is, we know all things work together for good to those, to them that love God. So first of all, do you love God? To them that are called according to his purpose. It's not my agenda. It's God's purpose. You know, I've known of people who are very gifted, okay, and a good example, and maybe some of you might remember this. Who's ever heard of Elvis Presley? Okay. My parents knew a couple that knew his family. He was actually originally in an apostolic Jesus name church. He came out of a Jesus name church. Though he left the church, he still had the ability to sing. God does see what it really is talking about when it says, the gifts of and calling of God are outward. God doesn't change his mind. He gives you your gifts for a reason. Okay? But so many times people get caught up in their gifting that they forget about their relationship with the Lord. In fact, they forget it was him who gave them the gift. The true thing is that God wants your heart. Because if he has your heart, he automatically has your gifting under subjection. Because there are people, and I've known a couple of them, who are gifted, but they're leaning on their own understanding. They're not working on their love. You have to keep a constant love relationship with the Lord. You have to prepare your heart. During the time of the rebuilding, there was a priest named Ezra. And I really like the scripture. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And to do it. And to teach Israel statutes and judgments. You really want to be used of God, you have to prepare your heart. You can't just go out and do your own thing. This next section, I have to sort of like go off on a tangent to explain another section. Okay? So bear with me. Before I go to the next section. When the earth was made, did Adam have, or mankind have dominion over the earth? I can't hear you. Yes, he did. It was God who gave Adam dominion over the earth. And Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Okay. So Adam clearly had dominion over the earth. Okay. Now then, when Adam fell, well, I'm going to go back to my an idea that I had about how do I really explain this point. When a person rents a property and the owner gives you the keys, you may not be the owner, but you have the keys, you have dominion, you have control over it. Somebody knocks on the door, rings your doorbell, you have the right to open it or not open it. Okay? What happened when Adam fell, essentially, excuse me, let me go back. In either Psalms or Proverbs, it says the earth is the Lord's. So Adam had dominion, but when he fell, he went in agreement, essentially, with the devil, and he opened the door. That's why there's evil in the world, because mankind as a whole has gone into agreement with the devil because of sin. It allowed the devil entrance. Likewise, if we want God to have entrance in our lives, we have to be in agreement with Him and His Word. Okay? We have to be in agreement in His Word. Okay? Now, this is the part I wanted to explain, use that to explain this. Moses was definitely a God-called man, but he ran ahead of the Lord and delayed the plan of God. Now, you're wondering, how could that be? Well, remember I said, we have dominion. We can open up the door. Okay? What happened, and I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 15. God told Abraham that the children of Israel, his children, would be in bondage for 400 years. Okay? And it says, and he said unto Abraham, know for surety thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Okay? Remember that number, 400 years. But when you read Exodus, it says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Well, didn't we just read that in Genesis 15, it was going to be 400 years? See, there was a discrepancy. There was a discrepancy. The discrepancy was that God had chosen Moses to do his will, but he ran ahead of the will of the Lord. And we see that here in Acts chapter 7, verses 23. And when Moses was 40 years old, it came in his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Moses had an idea, and he wanted to be used of God, and he actually, to some degree, understood his calling. He had the right heart. Verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And this is where we know what he was thinking. For he supposed his brethren would have understood that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. You see, Moses, to some degree, understood what his calling was. But he didn't understand there was a timing to it. See, sometimes a person may be gifted, but God has to develop you. He has to fix you. Okay? Now, remember, we have dominion. But because of this, we have to remember, God works his will through the will of mankind. He's knocking at the door, but we have to let him in. That's why there was a discrepancy, because Moses ran ahead. God had chosen him, but he didn't quite do what he should have done. He ran ahead. And some people will do that today, even in the church. To some, they have an idea about their gifting, but they don't realize they need to develop it. They need to be under spiritual covering to guide them in their development. Without spiritual covering, you can run a whole bunch of trouble. A whole bunch of trouble. And Moses fled. Excuse me. And Moses fled at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when was 40 years was expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Okay, so let's start this back again. He was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian, right? Okay. So after the 40 years, another 40 years, he was now 80 years old. And the children of Israel came out of Egypt and after 430 years. So if you just look at this graphic over here. After 430 years, he was of being in slavery. When Moses came back after killing the Egyptian, 40 years had expired. So he was now 80 years old. Now if you subtract 40 years from his age and from 430, you get 390. He, because of leaning to his own understanding, extended the children of Israel's captivity by an extra 30 years. By running ahead of the plan of the Lord, you can keep yourself and others in bondage. Okay? So when you subtract, so at year 390, he was 40 years old. If he had listened and did what God has said, the captivity would have only lasted another 10 years, and he would have been 50 years old. Now, what is the significance of the number 50 in the Bible? The year of what? It would have been the year of his jubilee as well as the nation of Israel. By running ahead of the will of the Lord, you can actually delay his plans for you and others. Now, one thing in Moses' defense, he had a good heart, but his head was in the wrong place. Okay? He had a good heart, but his head was in the wrong place. So that's why it's so important to grow in grace, to grow in your gifting and not run ahead of the Lord, and to seek him. Another character in the Bible that we're all familiar with is Samson and Delilah. Okay. Okay. And here's an example of somebody. Let me go back. He knew he was gifted. He had a very special anointing, but he didn't respect it. He didn't appreciate it. He was a judge of Israel. He knew better. You couldn't become a judge of Israel and just be some ordinary person. He knew better. He knew the ways of the Lord. And in Judges 16:19, this really struck me very interestingly. And this is regarding Samson Delilah. And she made him sleep upon her knee. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. His strength went from him. Delilah represents a typology of sin. It will sap your strength, and ultimately it will kill you. In Judges 16 and 20, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And most of you know the story. They plucked out his eyes. He became blind. But the real truth is, he became blind before he went blind. He went spiritually blind before he came naturally blind. Okay? Now, one minor thing in his defense. Strange thing enough, in Hebrews 11, he's listed as one of the heroes of faith. He did regain his spiritual sight, but at the cost of his eyes. And I do believe the Lord forgave him, because there's no accident he's listed as one of the heroes of faith. But the thing is, though, when you depend on your gifting and not in your relationship with the Lord, your gifts and talents, you're going to run into trouble. Now, this is a Jeremiahism. This is not in the Bible, this part. I believe, personally, he would have lived much longer. Sin will cut your life short and cause you a lot of pain and grief. Now, the real truth, more than your giftings and anything, you know, the Lord wants a relationship with you, okay? And here's proof of it. And Psalms 91, and I'm going to tell you something special about this psalm once I read it, this part of the psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. A few years ago, I was on a series of 3-day fasts, and the Lord spoke to me regarding this particular scripture, and it was actually kind of mind-blowing. The Lord said to me, Most of my children don't dwell with me, they just visit me. The Lord wants us to dwell with Him, to be in relationship. Remember, He's not so much interested in the gifting, He's the one who actually gave it to you. He's interested in relationship. God wants to be one with us. God wants us to be one with us. Now, many times, the Lord will use metaphors to communicate points to us, you know, spiritual points to us, you know. And actually, marriage is one of those points. Okay? Mark 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Verse 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. But one flesh. Now, what is the significance of that in terms of the Lord? You know, people think it's marriage is just a fleshly thing. It's a metaphor for something much deeper, and I'm about to show you that right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. One flesh, one spirit. See, that's one of the reasons why it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage. It's a metaphor for this oneness with God. Okay? It's a metaphor for that. Okay? By definition, God is holy. Anything He uses as a metaphor must be holy. Okay? Now, on this one part, I'm going to go into something else in terms of, if you want to be used by God, you have to hear from the Lord and learn how to listen. Okay? One second. Okay, I'm going to do it from here then. Look, the scripture says there we are one spirit. Okay? Have any of you experienced something where you did something or about to do something and something said to you, don't do it or do it? Yeah. Usually, and when you look back, you realize, man, I should have done this or I shouldn't have done it. That was the Holy Ghost. You have to understand, in listening to the Holy Ghost, it's something you have to first desire, because God isn't rude. He's not going to talk to you unless you desire a relationship with Him. Okay? The other thing is this. The Lord talks to you through your spirit, but it gets filtered through your flesh. That's why many times you think it's yourself. Okay? And I've had a couple examples of that in my life. Many years ago when I was in high school, during the summer, the high school weight room was open. I was in the weight room. I was working on this calf machine, and something said to me, and I didn't realize at the time, go work on the squats, which was way on the other side. So I did that. I got on the squat, did one set of the squats. You know, all of a sudden, the building shook. Where I had been, and there was glass and everything on the other side of the street. Was a company that did a lot of welding on tractor trailers and tankers. The reason why the building shook, there was a huge explosion. In fact, a guy got killed. All the glass on that side of the building shattered. It even blew off a steel stop sign. It was a very powerful explosion. I was the one who was furthest away from the explosion. The Lord had told me to go over there, and I thought it was just me. People who were by the other section where I had been, some of them got injured, some of them got cut. I didn't have a scratch. But I thought it was just me. Now, but going back over my life and looking, you know, some of the things I've done, you know, in terms of mistakes, things I've done right, I realized that was the Lord talking to me. Another time I was working at Best Buy, and I'm in the work area on the floor, and something made me turn. And I saw this lady walk across the floor. And I heard something say to me, she's a witch. Just like that she's a witch. Later on, somebody happened to talk to her and noticed that she had some type of medallion. And she said to that person, oh, it's a talisman. I'm a witch. I didn't know that, you know, the Holy Ghost told me, but I couldn't have known that unless it was the Lord. There was no way I could have known that information. Okay? So if we learn how to listen to the voice of Lord, to the Lord, it can protect us. Now, sometimes we're more sensitive in the spirit than other times. And I'll be honest, one time I missed it. And the Lord was trying to take care of me, but I messed it up. Okay? And what I messed up was, I was working on some charts, and I was getting involved in business and looking at different companies, and I leaned to my own understanding. Something said to me, and that something was the Holy Ghost, said, no, go the other way. I lost $2,000. If I'd gone the other way, what the Holy Ghost had actually said, I would have made about $500,000 in 6 weeks. I missed it. So it's important to develop a love relationship that we are really sensitive to the Lord all the time. Do you have a question? Well, first of all, anything that anybody tells you, if it's truly the word of God from the Lord, it won't conflict with the Bible. That's number one. No spoken word, no rhema word will ever conflict with what the word, what the actual scripture says, either in direct content or in the spirit of it. It will not contradict. The Lord doesn't contradict himself. Also, the scripture says, try the spirit. You have to find God for yourself. You have to seek him for yourself. And that was what the Lord told me. Most of my children don't dwell with me. They just visit me. The Lord wants us to dwell with him. Because when you dwell with the Lord, you'll learn his ways. You'll learn to, and it's something you have to desire and practice. Sometimes it will be just your own thoughts. But after a while, you become more sensitive and desire it. The Bible does say something very interesting, and I had it here. Whoops. Ah. The Lord is talking to us all the time. The scripture says, and thank you for bringing it up, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There are several ways you can listen. The three basic ways the Lord is talking to us is through the written word, first of all. How many people are not reading the word? If you're not feeding your spirit, you won't develop, you won't grow. The second thing, the preaching and teaching of the word. Check their church attendance. That's another thing. What's their church attendance like? Okay. Now, I myself, what I've done, I have the whole Bible on CD. So when I'm at work, I'm driving for hours, I'm listening to the word. I'm listening to preaching. I'm listening to gospel music. I'm trying to feed my spirit because I can't just get fed in church. First of all, if you had one meal once a week, you're going to starve. Okay? You're going to starve. Okay? Do I look like I'm starving? You know I eat more than once a week. Okay? Okay? In fact, something I was going to go through, I'm just getting a little bit out of order here. People can get lifted up. I'm going to get back to your point a bit more. People can get lifted up by their giftings. And Paul said something that was very interesting. And he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That's buffet, right? A lot of people mispronounce that, and it's buffet. They buffet their body. To be honest, I've buffeted my body a few times also, okay? My wife says I need to lose weight. But the thing is, going back to what you're saying now, we need to buffet our spirit by having a fasting life. Years ago, I had the misconcept of fasting, thinking if I fast and pray, I can make God do this, make God do that. No, fasting changes you. Fasting changes you, or at least it should if you're doing it right. Otherwise, you're just starving yourself for no reason. Okay. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a word life? If you're doing those things, eventually you'll have manifesting fruit of the Spirit. You have to. It's inevitable. Okay. It's inevitable. And so as you do those things, you become more sensitive to the word. Remember when Jesus had the parable about sowing the seeds? There was some that had the cares of life that choked them. That can actually dull your sensitivity. to the Spirit of God, to Him talking to you. It can dull your senses. Sometimes, you know, you come home from work, you may have been a 12-hour day, you're tired, you don't read your word like you should, you don't pray like you should, you're not fasting as you should, okay? And as a result, sometimes, you know, you get behind in your reading and so forth, and you lose that sensitivity. You have to be in relationship with the Lord. The Bible says that He will reveal His secrets, you know, but there has to be a closeness first. Whoops, okay. Exactly. It's because the Lord will always confirm His word one way or the other. You know, the Bible says, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? Well, if somebody tells you something, check it against what the word says. Either directly or what the spirit of the context of the word says. You know, we're joined to the Lord, we're one spirit, okay? And we have to be sensitive to that and appreciate that. Because the Lord is talking to us all the time, but are we listening? I've been in conversations with people, I'm talking to them, but they're not listening. And many times, the Lord is talking to us, but we're just, I got to do my computer, I got to do this. We're not paying attention to what the Lord says. How can you grow? And that's the other thing about being useful. You got to hear the word of the Lord, then obey it. Now, it's very important to obey the word of the Lord. Okay? King Saul disobeyed the Lord, and it cost him dearly. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Because of his disobedience, there's another scripture that shows that God had chosen him to rule over, his kingdom would rule over Israel. That somebody from his seed would rule over Israel forever. In fact, he spoiled it for his son, Jonathan. Jonathan would have been a great king. He was a mighty warrior. And why do we know he had good character? Because when he realized that David was going to be king, he wasn't angry or jealous. He supported David. He recognized where he was. So he had great character. I think he would have been an outstanding king. But because of his father's disobedience, it ruined everything. And that's another thing. My brother and I are convinced, or I know for a fact, I'm receiving many blessings because of the obedience of my parents. Okay? Because the Bible says He'll bless your family. He'll bless your second, third, fourth, even the fourth generation. Okay? So when you obey the Lord, you're making provision for your generations to come after you. And many people just get stuck on me, myself, and I. As I said, we're not as wonderful as we think, okay? We're not. But the main point, if you want to be used of God, you have to be in relationship. And that's why I brought this up again. He wants to be one with us. Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you really listening to the Spirit? Are you really bearing fruit? So many times people, as I said, they say they want to be used of God, but what's their motivation? They don't have a love relationship. And that's so important to have a love relationship with the Lord. If you want to be really used of God, where's your love relationship? I was trying to think of a title for this teaching, and I wasn't sure, Dwelling in the Secret Place or Use Me, Lord, you know. But either way, if you really want to be used of Lord, you have to dwell in His secret place. There's protection there. That's the other thing. There's protection. There's blessings there. And when we really examine that and look at it, He will keep us. Do you have another question?
People
That's actually a very good question. Many times, they're lacking in their own relationship, and they're trying to depend on somebody else's relationship with the Lord for a message. And I think that's part of the problem, that they don't have their own relationship like they should, so they're trying to depend on somebody else's relationship and gifting. All they have to do is read the Word, live right, have a prayer life, fast in life, and the Lord will direct you. Now, any time I've made a mistake is because I wasn't sent in any particular area. I missed it some way, and I was relying on myself. Anytime I've listened to the Lord, it's worked out fine. Remember, remember, you've got the Holy Ghost just like them. You've got the Spirit of God. You're one with the Lord. The thing is, though, are we being sensitive? Are we developing that relationship? Okay? And so, many times people know they're not where they should be, so they try and get it, depend on somebody else's relationship with the Lord. I hope I answered your question. Okay. Go ahead. Malcolm, before, I just want to address one thing. Is there any way I can convince any of you that your mother was not your mother? Is there any way I convince any of you that your mother was not your mother? Is that a yes or no? I can't hear you.
No.
Why? You knew your mother. You lived with her. You dwelled with her. God wants us to live and dwell with Him, that we may know Him. We're of one spirit. One third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. I said one third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost because the Bible clearly says that when you're joined with the Lord, you're of one spirit. So one third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. So you have to know the Lord for yourself. Just like the way you know your parent, your mother, and nobody can convince you otherwise, you have to know the Lord yourself. Malcolm? Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I forgot the exact scripture, but it said, anytime you hear people say, well, here is Christ, or there is Christ, don't go there. Because many will be deceived and say, and there are people who actually claim to be Christ right now. As I said, if anybody ever tells you something, if it doesn't conform to what the Word specifically or says, either in actual content or the spirit or the nature of it, you can't go with it. Nothing, no spoken word of God is going to contradict His written word. My father used to say the Bible is the plumb line. And a plumb line It's something you hold up to tell if something is perpendicular or not. So if it doesn't conform to the word, you can reject it. You can reject it. Hopefully, I know it's a little short, but hopefully today I've given you something to chew on, to think about your love relationship with the Lord and truly wanting to be used of the Lord. That we need to be faithful over even the smallest of things. Even the smallest of things. And that the Lord really wants a relationship. He's more interested in your relationship with Him than in your gifting. Because when He has your heart, the gifting and your operation of it will automatically happen in due time. Amen. At this time, I'll turn over the service to Pastor Brownie.